Christ. Why don't we go ahead and welcome Pastor Byron up here.
Amen. And thank you. It's been a long time since I've been here, I feel like. Yeah, there's old Nathan Moore over there. Who let him in, right? I've known Nathan a long time, but all his life. So, yeah. Amen. Okay, so that was great. The worship was really good, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It really was. And there's a few people in here I probably don't know. So just in case you didn't catch, my name's Byron. My wife, Becky, was doing worship with Sarah. And it just so happens my daughter was up here with playing the keyboard. It's Grace. So, hey, I wanted to share one thing before I started just because I'm just feeling like the Lord won't leave me alone about it, okay? And it happens, this girl who was over here singing, what's her name?
Sarah,
yeah. I feel like the Lord really, his heart's really, with the Lord's heart for you. And there's something that the Lord wants to give you that you want from the Lord. And well, I just feel like there's something in you that God really wants to touch on a deeper level than you've ever experienced before. And I kept thinking about the verses in Luke 24, the story of the road to Emmaus. Are you familiar with that story in the Bible where these guys were so broken and disappointed with what was happening around them, and the Lord came alongside and began to talk to them. And it says he opened up the scriptures and explained himself. And they really weren't catching who was right there with them. And I think that's one thing the Lord wants to do for you. I think you're going to realize some things about your life that the Lord was with you, and when you really didn't know he was there. And, you know, then later they were eating the meal, and it says the Lord broke the bread and their eyes were opened. And I just feel like there's some kind of opening, a moment, encounter for you. Where you're going to see something that's amazing. And and they said afterwards, didn't our hearts burn within us as we walked with him on the road? And I just feel there's something like that, whatever that looks like for you. But the Lord's heart really is for you, and he really loves you, and he's just mindful of you. Mm-hmm. And you really just need to know that his heart is right there at you, and he's got you on his mind.
Good.
Yeah, so that's sort of what I feel, and I just leave it at that, okay? So I've done my job. You can leave me in that alone now, Lord, about her. It's between you and God now. Amen.
That's good.
So I wanted to read. What I want to talk to you today is faith, and that was kind of a you know, the 5 millionth sermon that has ever been given on the topic of faith. So yeah, I'm sure you've heard many. You know, one thing that I've kind of figured out in my life with the Lord is there's just times when the Lord really moves in your life. And it's just like, those are the best of times. You know, we've talked about it, like when the Lord's really moving, you're at your best, you know.
Yeah.
But when he's not moving, I'm at my worst, you know. We can do church great when the Lord's moving.
Yeah.
When he's not moving, it's like, oh, it's not that great. That's the way I feel about it. But one of the things that I feel like the Lord's really has taught me over the years is when there's like not this sense of him moving, there's things that he wants us to tap into. And one thing you can always tap into in your life is faith, hope, and love. I mean, always. You can always find Jesus when you begin to meditate on faith, meditate on love, meditate on hope. And so the last few years of my life, there's been a lot of goodness from knowing the love of God the Father. I mean, just amazing goodness that has come into my life. I mean, it's just the most incredible revelation there ever will be, apart from salvation itself, which all was tied together. But just knowing God as your personal Father, you know, and knowing that in a real, in a genuine way, it's just so impacting and powerful. And it just continues to be impacted. It will never end. I don't think it ends in heaven. I think it will just continue to grow. If you don't really have that revelation, you should ask the Lord to give you a revelation as His, you know, on a personal level, not just like God as a Father. Also, this amazing thing called hope. Hope is just, you know, hope never disappoints us. And God, there's a God of hope. He's literally, that's one of the ways He wants us to know Him, as the God of hope, the God of all hope. And He has a hope, you know, the hope of His calling over every person in this room. And you know, I know the plans for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you, to give you a future and a hope.
Yeah.
You know, hope is defined as the confident expectation, okay, that there's this confidence that will rise in your heart when you really tap into the hope of the Lord. It's not human hope, it's supernatural hope.
Yeah.
And God really wants His people to be people of great hope. We're not always like that because we get tapped into this world, mm-hmm. you know, and tapped into what's going on in the world. And when you're feeding into that world all the time, you're not going to have hope. The way to overcome the world is your faith. That's what 1 John 4:5 says. It says that's our victory, is our faith. Mm-hmm. And so I just want to tell you a few things here. You may know some of them already or may not, but that's really been impactful for me in my life. And it's really not just, it's not just been revelation. It has really altered some of my thinking about faith and about how to walk in faith and how to tap into the spiritual realm. And how to really know the Lord is through faith. It says, I'm just going to read this. It says, verse 1 and 2, everybody knows, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So there you have right away is the hope, and you have the supernatural. You have something that's not seen, something that's not of this world. And faith is not of this world. It's something that looks into this other world, where we're supposed to be living from this other world. We're supposed to be seeing into this other world. And faith gives us the ability to see something that everybody else doesn't see. One of my great concerns for the church is the church sees what everybody else sees. Mm-hmm. And that, what's the difference if all we see is what the world sees? We have to see something different. And God has given us the ability to see something different. And when we begin to see different, we can live different.
Yeah.
Right.
Because we see something that not other people are not seeing. And our part of our thing is to see it, to get it, to tap into it, and share it with other people.
Right.
And it says, by it, meaning faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. The elders obtained a good testimony. I'll go back to the elders for a minute. But, you know, back in the 90s, there was like some major moves of God that came into the world, really. And they really had a major impact on the body of Christ for years and years and years and years. And then, you know, different people have different views of when all that sort of ebbed away. You know, for us, I would say somewhere around 2011, 2012 sort of was what we would say was the kind of the end of that. That's my perspective. Y'all might think something different, but think about a hurricane, right? A hurricane, you know how a hurricane works? They turn, but they have an eye in the middle of them, okay? You know, a hurricane comes in, and you have a front of it, you have an eye, and then you have a backside of it. And I believe we've been like in the eye of a move of God for years now. I think there's a backside, which in the natural, and I know I'm giving you an analogy of a hurricane, which is sort of a destructive thing, but we're not talking about something destructive except for the devil, right?
Yeah.
Y'all good?
Yeah.
Hey, I come from a background of I need help when I preach. You know, I need people to participate with me. So I feel like we've been in an eye where there's really not been a lot of spiritual momentum.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm talking about in a larger picture. You individually, different people have had. So we've been in this eye, but I believe we're starting to get closer and closer to the backside of this move of the Lord coming. In fact, recently we've had these little bands. Well, you know how there's bands on these hurricanes? If you look at them, little bands of storms, of rain and stuff that will start as you're approaching the main part of the storm that will come. And so we've experienced some of the little bands in the past few months. You know, so we're not really into this move of God yet, but I'll tell you, we are moving towards something significant. I remember back, it was probably around 2012. There was a lot of preachers that were talking about using these terms, Great Awakening. I don't know if any of y'all remember that. And talking about this Great Awakening coming. Even some of my friends who preach all over the place were using that term. But, you know, it was like at the time, I'm just really not jiving with it. I'm not connecting with there's this awakening that's fixing to happen. You know what I'm saying? It just wasn't ringing true in my heart. I even talked to some of my friends about it. And, obviously they were wrong, okay? Not that I was being right. I'm just saying it didn't. It wasn't. But I believe now I am jiving with a thought. I am sensing that we really are moving towards something that's going to be very powerful and going to be very dynamic for the church. I really believe that with all my heart, and I believe God has created us for that. He's put us on this earth for this time to really come into something amazing in the earth. In fact, I believe if we don't see that, we're going to be in a worse trouble than we could ever imagine, you know, as a nation, and the nations. I mean, we think the United States is in bad shape. There are some countries that are in way worse shape than us. I mean, they were started out in way worse shape, and they've been absolutely destroyed. I mean, if you were a person in a third world country that was poor, imagine where you're at right now. You can't imagine the destruction that has been brought about in the world in the last couple of years of all that's going on. Well, God's got an answer for all that. Yeah. It's the Holy Spirit. It's a move of God. It's a powerful move of God. And God wants to begin to speak to us and to wake us up and begin to get us thinking in faith again and in belief again and in anticipation that He wants to do something. Yeah. That's really what He's looking for. He's looking for people who will say yes today for something tomorrow, because that's what faith does. Faith is seeing something. Faith is laying hold of something that it sees that God's fixing to do. And I'm just declaring you something I see that God wants to do. Are y'all with me?
Yes.
Good. So, anyways, back to this verse here. One of the beautiful things is I was mentioning the elders of faith. This is cool, man. That's what you have in Hebrews 11. We have the elders of faith. It began to list people, okay, and it begins to talk about their faith. And what their faith, in other words, what God wants us to know, what the Holy Spirit was trying to reveal to us in Hebrews 11, besides the definition of faith, which, you know, has been worked over and worked over and worked over, which needs to be worked over some more, is He wants to reveal there's different manifestations of faith based on the revelation given to a person.
Yeah.
In other words, like, for instance, Abel, who was the first elder of faith, okay, that his manifestation was he approached God with a blood sacrifice. Remember back in Genesis, him and Cain. Cain brought the produce of the ground to God. Abel brought a sacrifice to God. And so what Abel's faith was telling us, that we can come close to God by the blood. That's what it was all about. Some people have had a difficulty with God because he rejected Cain's offering. But what God was trying to tell all mankind from that point forward, you don't have to do, there's only one thing you need. There's only one thing you need to be close to me. That's what he was telling. And that is the blood.
Yeah.
That's it.
You don't have, and so here's what we can look at. We don't have to do anything to get close to God. Don't even waste your time trying to get close to God. Because the Bible clearly says, Ephesians 2:13, the blood has brought us near.
Yes.
And so when we try to do anything else, if it's through our prayers or through our worship or any of that, you're wasting your time. You're bringing a works to God. You're trying to do something that God has already done, that God has already supplied. That's one of the things of faith that faith does. It doesn't mean that we don't grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, right? Well, here's my example. I have been living with this same person for a long time, you know, a couple years. Like 40-something years. I mean, gosh, forever. Anyway, so I sleep in the same bed with this person. I use the same bathroom as this person. We have the same closet. We eat the same table day in and day out. But that doesn't necessarily mean I really know this person. So you can be in close contact with a person. But there's things I'm finding out about Becky today that I never really knew. My relationship with her is still growing and still developing. And so that's the way it is with the Lord. We're close to Him. Don't try to be close to Him. Don't do that. Even though you don't always feel it, don't go on your feelings. Don't go on what you feel. Go on what the blood has done.
Yeah.
The blood brings us near and the blood keeps us near.
Yeah.
It really does. Are y'all getting that?
Yes.
If you don't get anything else, if you thought that was for me, you can get up and leave right now. If all the church, if the body of Christ just understood that one thing, we could just quit all this striving, trying to do this, trying to get close to the Lord and all that, and just put all that aside and trust what He's already done. That's faith of Abel. And then the next person that mentions is good old Enoch. Everybody know about Enoch. It says Enoch please God. That's what it says. Enoch walked with God. So faith, Abel's faith told us, you know, how to get close to God. Enoch taught us how to walk with God, how to please God. Yeah. We have this imagination about Enoch, and it's probably not right, because you know, it says Enoch walked with God and was not, right? He's one of the two people in the Bible who never died. You know, he just walked with God and just kept walking on with Him, walked on into heaven, right? Okay, well, that's what happened to him. So in my mind, I've always imagined Enoch having some, see, that somehow God was visibly and physically manifesting Himself to Enoch. But I don't believe He was, because it says in verse 6 of 11, right in verse 5, He talks about Enoch. In verse 6, He says, "He who comes to God must believe that God is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." In other words, it was talking about Enoch's faith. Enoch walked with an invisible God. That's what, and he believed that invisible God was there. He walked with that invisible God, and he walked and walked and walked with Him until that invisible God, you know, one day, "Enoch, you're so close to heaven. Would you like to go back to your house, or would you like to come to my house?" Right? That's what happened. Like, "Oh, Lord, I think I'll just go to your house." Amen. And that's really what it's like. We have this invisible God that we can walk with. That's what Enoch's faith is all about.
Yeah.
Are y'all getting with this?
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you about somebody else's faith first, but I'm going to read 11:3, which this is really important. It says, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God." Any house framers in here? Anybody frame houses? Raise your hand if you frame houses. Come on. Framing's some important, right? You can't have a house without a frame. "The worlds were framed by the word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which are visible."
Wow.
They're made of something invisible. Well, here's what that word "frame" means there, just in case you may be curious. It means to arrange, set in order, equip, adjust, complete what is lacking, make fully ready, repair, prepare. Isn't that cool? In other words, this is a big deal. So something framed this world. It was the Word of God. And here's what I want to tell you. Something is framing your world. Now, this is a good question for you to ask yourself. What's framing my world? What's framing my world? What's setting me in order? What's preparing me? Because something's doing that to you, whether you realize it or not. And we see what has happened with a lot of believers who have become very destitute spiritually because something has framed them. Something's working in their life. Maybe it's the political spirit, okay, that's just beginning to frame everything about them. And they're being consumed by this thing. Or, you know, they're being consumed by the conditions of the world. That's framing them. Or maybe it's a person who's really involved in social media and really has this thing with them about what other people think and trying to be something and trying to be somebody. They're letting other people frame them.
Right.
Are y'all following this?
Yeah.
This is important. Because something's framing you. You need to find out what's framing you. You need to ask the question, what's influencing me? Because framing has something to do with your identity. Okay? Something's creating an identity for you.
Wow.
And I'm telling you, it is.
Yeah,
you know, and you will never, I'll tell you, if the wrong thing is creating your identity, you're not going to be the real person God created you to be. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I wanted to read this little quote from this person named Hildegard. That sounds like a cool name, right? If he was living in the 11th century. Hildegard of Bingen, that's a German person. She was actually a Catholic mystic, scientist, songwriter. This was like a Renaissance woman. She was an amazing lady. I just love some of the stuff that you can go back and read some of the songs that she wrote for that time, which might not be, you know, chants and all that. But it was cool back then. It was like some of that we sang this morning for their day. That's the kind of person she was. She says, we cannot live in a world that is not our own. It's in a world that is interpreted for us by others. You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Our world is so, if somebody else is trying to give us a narrative, somebody else is trying to interpret something for us, we need to put a stop to that. We need to close our ears off to somebody else trying to frame our world, interpreting who we are for us.
Good.
Listen to this. An interpretive world is not a home. Part of the terror, is to take back your own listening, to use your own voice, to see your own light. That's what she said. And see, that's what we have to do. We got to take those things back.
Yeah.
We got to take them back away from the world or whatever else that's trying to frame you and trying to tell you who you are and tell you what you're supposed to be listening to, what you're supposed to be seeing, what you're supposed to be thinking, because we're being bombarded by it. Are y'all good?
Yeah.
Y'all are looking sort of blankly at me.
Absorbing
right
it.
<That's>
right.
What kind of church do y'all have here, Matthew?
It's a great one.
Yeah, a great one. Yeah, so that's where I wanted to mention something about Sarah's faith. Hebrews 11:11. Could be Sarah Bolander's faith, or you're Sarah, right? Maybe this is for you also, specifically. I just love this. This spoke to me years ago, powerfully. You know, you've probably heard prophetic people talk about the number 11:11. Has anybody ever heard about that? Like, I've seen these numbers 11:11. Many people have that.
Yeah.
I did too, and I asked the Lord one time about it. This was a long time ago, and He gave me this verse right out of the blue. I heard Hebrews 11:11. I didn't really know what He was telling me then. I wish I would have. It says, by faith, Sarah herself. Do you get that? Sarah herself, not just big dog Abraham. Not just the cool guy, not just the father of faith, but Sarah herself received something. She got something. This is important. This is we can't let everything else. Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age because she judged him faithful who had promised. That's powerful. She received something. That's what Hildegard was talking about. It was talking about yourself, receiving something yourself. So here's what another thing I've learned, you know, since I've been in the Lord a long time, and I have been really blessed in my life to have a lot of amazing friends and spiritual leaders and people to mentor me and speak into my life and impact my life and give me everything they had or offer to me everything they had spiritually. I mean, amazing people, really, when I think about it, like, but here's the thing I learned about all that. Eventually, they're all going away. In fact, a lot of my mentors who had totally impacted me the most, my fathers in the faith, they're gone. They're in heaven. They left. They left. They're going to leave. They're going to leave us eventually. They're all going to leave us. Your favorite spiritual person, they're either going to leave you, because they went in a different direction, you know, or you no longer resent it. But eventually, and that's why we have to be able to receive something ourselves. We got to have something ourselves. For sure, she needed Abraham, and Abraham needed her. They needed each other to do what they did, you know, to have a baby. But it took both of them. And we have to be those kind of people that we receive something ourselves from the Lord.
Yeah.
That we have something from the Lord. We, years ago, I read this verse. Oh, I love this verse. It's Paul in Hebrews. I'm not really following my notes very good. I'm sorry. Paul said this, Second Corinthians 12:1, I will go on to visions and revelations of the Lord. I will go on to visions. I read that one day, and out of my mouth, it was like I was watching myself say this, me too. I said that to the Lord, me too. I will go on. And you know what happened in my life? I went on to visions and revelations of the Lord. You see, that's something, that's the light she was talking about. Have your own light. Have your own revelation.
Yeah.
Have your own ear to hear.
Yeah.
Have this from the Lord. It's available. That's what I felt from the Lord that day when I said that. It's like God was saying, if Paul can have it, you can have it.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that Paul was just a special person. It wasn't that your favorite prophet or pastor or whoever, apostle or whatever you're into, is that they can just have it. You've got something that God has for you. And you must really say, yes, I'm going to have that in my life. I'm going to receive that. I'm going to have the light that God has for me. I'm going to have the revelation that God has for me. I'm not going to spend my life, my Christian life or my life period, not being who God called me to be and not having what God wants me to have. And if you will determine that in your heart, then you have given God a chance. That's the faith of Sarah right there. That's the faith of having the Word of God frame you versus the world. Are y'all still okay?
Good.
Yeah, I got to hurry up here. I'm going to finish. All right, here's another one. I'm going to read Hebrews 11:7. This is the faith of Noah. Wow, this is important, y'all. In fact, I think T actually mentioned this in so many words while he was up here. It says, by faith, Noah being divinely warned of things not yet seen. Wow, isn't that powerful? He was warned. He was warned of something. He moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became the heir of righteousness, which is according to faith. So you see that how Noah's faith manifests. That God gave him a warning, and he responded to that warning by preparing an ark. Okay? At that time, it had never rained on the earth. Never.
Right.
And so what happened was, this, because it was something that had never happened before. Right? Something had not yet been seen. Rain. Rain never. It says that in the Genesis, what it says is the deep broke open. And what happened was, when the deep broke open, I guess it was an earthquake or something, or a volcano, underground volcano, that shot water up into the air. And when the water shot up in the air, this is the scientific part of it, when the water shot up into the air, it shot dust up into the air. And that created clouds, which created rain. That's how that rain started. That's how the first rain started on the earth. It came from the water that God had put in the earth, and it just blew up into the air, and also blew up dirt and trash and all the stuff from the earth, seeded the clouds started raining. That's how rain started. That's how rain works today. And so that's what was happening. But that had never happened. I was just a scientific sideline. But that had never happened before. But here's the thing. He prepared something. And apparently God gave him a blueprint for this boat that he built that was really big. And all these animals could come on the boat and his family could come on the boat. Well, I believe this is something y'all should be praying about, is we need to prepare for this move of the Lord
that's
coming.
Yeah.
I mean, we need to prepare physically, and we need to prepare spiritually. We need to be asking the Lord, Lord, how do we prepare? We need a blueprint right now. We need something more. God, I think God wants to download some blueprints about how to prepare for what He's fixing to do. Because the more prepared you are, the more you can receive of what God wants to do. Anybody interested in that?
Yes.
I'm pretty interested in that. And so I believe, you know, and it can be real practical things, okay? And it can be real spiritual things. It's both, I believe. And so I really encourage y'all to really begin to pray about that. How can we prepare for what's coming that we don't see yet, that we don't even know what it is yet, but we can do this because God will show us particularly what we should do as a body of Christ right here in this town.
Yeah.
You know, I think this is really important. I mean, really important. And then it says in verse 8, it shifts over to the faith of Abraham, which is the most famous faith because he was the father of all the elders. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out. See how God spoke to him differently. He didn't warn him. His faith didn't come from a warning. His faith came from a call. His faith came from God speaking to him and telling him. And so I really believe right now we're in a time also where Abraham's faith is really going to be key for us, because Abraham went out not knowing where he was going. And I just feel like for the body of Christ, we can't just go back the way we were before all the pandemic and all that started. I don't really want to do that. I really don't. I mean, my heart is long. I don't want to do that, but I don't know what to do. I don't know how. All I know is the Lord told me back around January, February, it's time to move forward.
Yeah.
That's what He told me. It's time to, and I'm like, well, how do I do that? What is moving forward? And you know what He told me? Nothing. Nothing. He didn't tell me a word. He didn't say, well, do this, this, and no, you just start moving forward. Just move forward. Move what's in your heart. What is your heart? Go for that. Go in faith, not knowing where you're going. We really need to have that. I believe we'll be doing a lot of same. We're all going to be worshiping the Lord, and we're going to always minister to the community. And I'm not saying we're going to stop doing it, but it may look a little different. It may be a little different. Let me tell you about this dream. Are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Let me tell you about this dream I had. This is a few months ago. That was really, it's part about moving forward. And it may be part about a blueprint. Well, anyway, I was in church. It was like church on Sunday morning, and the first thing that happened was we ministered to some people who, you know, the Bible says, bless those who curse you, people who rejected us, people who spoke against us. We were ministering to their needs. That was the first thing that happened. I walk into the church. Oh, they're here. They have needs. Let's take care of their needs. It wasn't even a question. We were just doing it. It wasn't like some big deal. And then I walk into the sanctuary, and I have never in my life seen such a fellowship happening with the people of God. I mean, there was like a joy in the room, and people were genuinely enjoying each other, and the Lord was genuinely enjoying being in the midst of the people. Okay? And so I walk over, and there was this person, and it was time to start. You know, it's 10 o'clock. You know, it was time to start, right, the countdown. And this person yelled out, like, it's time to start. And when he did, it was like this stench of rotten eggs is what it smelled like. Like. And I'm thinking, what in the world? And so I walk around to see what the worship team was doing. And the worship team was standing against the walls. And I says, how come you're not starting? Why are y'all just standing? They weren't even on the stage to start. I said, why are y'all doing this? They said, we would not dare touch what God is doing. Wow. So, number one, our attitude about things has a smell in the spirit realm. When we are communicating something out of our heart that's opposed to what's the heart of the Lord, it doesn't smell good to the Lord. It's a stench to Him. It's a stench in His mouth. He don't want that. Number two is we always have believed in and will always believe in, you know, in church you minister to the Lord first.
That's right.
Worship. You know, we've always like, this is, But there may come a time when the Lord says, this is my worship.
That's right.
Is the fellowship with the people. Is the being with the people. I'm being worshiped there. You can do the worship, regular worship, later. Right. Are y'all following this? Yep. See, to me, that dream speaks volumes to me. That we have to be willing to become something different. Are y'all hearing that?
Yeah.
We really do. I mean, it's not easy to do. It's not easy to be a pastor or a worship leader or even just a believer that's coming and not really knowing that there's an agenda. You know, everybody has an agenda. We have an agenda. We really do. You know, I mean, to say we don't. We just don't have it written down somewhere. But we have an order of service in our minds. And we've always said the best day in church is when God comes in and takes your order of service and just, let's throw that aside and do something different.
Yeah.
And we need to learn how to love those moments and enjoy those moments. Because I believe we're going to have some moments where God destroys our agenda.
Yeah.
And we just need to laugh all the way with Him when He does that.
That's right.
Well, I believe that's what going out and not knowing where you're going is all about, y'all. Did y'all get that? Okay, I'm going to finish. Y'all are looking like y'all done here. You know that old preacher saying? You know that old preacher saying, if you get done before I do, just leave. I am going to get finished because I'm not trying to preach at you. I'm just trying to share some things I believe the Lord has for you.
Yeah, that's good.
This last one is the faith of Moses. It says in verse 24 through 27, by faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Choosing, everybody say choosing.
Choosing.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin. Mm. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. That's powerful. For he looked to the reward. So he was seeing something.
Yeah.
By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible.
Amazing.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah.
But notice that by faith, Moses made a choice. Okay? It wasn't just faith. You know, it wasn't just, he just had this spontaneous Holy Ghost moment in his life and he did something. He thought it out. He looked at what was going on. He looked at what was happening in Egypt. He looked at what he was seeing in the Spirit. And he decided in his heart, this is the way I'm going. He realized it was going to cost him one way or the other. It was going to cost him whichever way he went. There was a cost associated with it, and he knew it. And so here's the beautiful thing about God is God has given all of us this thing called the power of choice.
Yeah.
Everybody in this room, you have power in your hand to make choices. And what Moses' faith is all about is taking his faith and seeing something and making a choice based on what he was seeing in the spirit realm. And making a choice based on that, you hear what I'm saying? Instead of just choosing what his flesh may have wanted or just choosing what the world was, you know, going with what the world goes with. That's really what we're going to need a faith like that. We're going to need a faith where we can begin to look at what's happening with the world and say, I'm not choosing to participate in that. I am not going to sacrifice my faith. I'm not going to compromise my faith to be popular. I'm not going to compromise my faith to get followers on some social media thing. I'm not going to compromise what our church believes to get more people to come.
Right.
We're not going to do that. That's what we had to decide. And realizing it's going to cost us. We're going to lose friends possibly on, you know, the social media type friends. You could possibly lose friends in real life, you know, because of these choices. But faith, if you put your faith with your choices, is what Moses did. You know?
Right.
And that's what we need to do. We need to bring our faith into our choices.
That's right.
Good.
And then your choices become very powerful then because you're doing it the way God created us to do. Amen.
Amen.
I'm gonna end. Amen, yeah. Amen. Yeah. So Let's pray a second.
Amen.
Yeah, ask the Holy Spirit to do what only the Holy Spirit can do.
Yeah.
Yeah, come on. Yeah. Mm-hmm. By faith, Sarah herself. Maybe
that's it. Maybe
Sarah needs to have a baby, huh? Yep. Receive something. Lord, we just pray for this Sarah, River Life Chapel Hill, people in this room, Lord. Lord, we all need strength. We all need strength.
Yeah.
Lord, we just ask you to release strength right now. We were going to receive strength ourselves. We're not going to depend on other people's strength. Lord, thank you for other people's strength. Thank you that you put strong people around us.
Yeah.
Lord,
yeah.
Thank you that you've allowed us to tap into prophetic things and prophetic people and anointings and spiritual authority and apostolic things and all those beautiful things, Lord. But Lord, today we're saying we want something for ourselves.
Yeah.
Lord, we don't want to just get what they got.
Yeah.
We want our own thing, Lord.
Yes, God.
And we're asking you, Lord, we're asking for a download right now.
Yeah.
We just pray,
yeah,
God, that you download,
yes,
something,
God,
for us, Lord.
Yes.
Lord, everybody in this room needs something. Everybody,
yes,
in this room has a dream in their heart. They have a burden in their heart. They have a care in their,
yeah,
heart, Lord. Everybody, we all have it, Lord.
Yeah.
And Lord, we don't just need to, we need to get something from you today.
Yes, God.
You want to interact with us. You want to download,
yes,
into,
yes,
us today,
God.
Yes.
Lord, we're just asking you to do that. Let this church be a place where people can come in here and get downloads.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lord, they'll walk in the room and something they'll tap in,
yeah,
Lord.
Yeah.
They'd plug into something different,
yes,
Lord.
God.
They'd plug into the spirit world, Lord. They'd begin to see visions and dream,
yeah,
dreams. Lord, we're asking,
yes,
you to,
God,
do that. Lord,
yes,
that's our inheritance, Lord.
Jesus.
We're not going to be happy without it. We're going to fail without it, Lord. We are going to be miserable without it, Lord. We'll never be able to reach those suffering people,
yeah,
Lord, without downloads, Lord. Those people who lost their husband and dad, those people who lost their homes, we'll never reach them, Lord, without the supernatural power,
yeah, right,
of Jesus Christ flowing in your body, Lord. We're asking you for that, Lord. We're not ashamed today, Lord. We're not ashamed of you, Lord. You're not ashamed of us, Lord. And so we ask you for that in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray you wouldn't let people off the hook in this room. I just ask you, there's people in this room, Lord, that have tried to, they're trying to get off. They're on the hook, Lord. You've got them on your hook. They think they're running from you. They're wearing themselves out like an old fish does. And you're going to sit there like a wise fisherman, let them run and run. But one day they're going to wear out and you're going to reel their hides into your glorious boat. I pray you get them, Lord.
Yeah.
I pray you get our family members that are running from you, Lord. Lord, hook them, Lord. Just hook them. Don't let them off, Lord. Lord, don't let me off, Lord. Don't let me off, Lord. Don't let me off, Lord. Keep me on your hook forever, Lord. Lord, I always want to be on your hook. I want to be with you, Lord. There's people in this room, Lord, you want to use as bait, Lord. I'm sorry for the, that's all I'm seeing right now. As I'm seeing people taking, and God's like, God's pulled you out, so I'm going to put you on this hook, and I'm going to throw you out there to catch some things. Lord, I ask you to do that. Divine bait, Lord. Lord, where the fish of the sea would be attracted. The fish of the sea would be attracted because there would be something beautiful on that hook. It's your people, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, bless them, Lord.
Amen.
Bless them.
Yeah.
Mm. Hey, let's just wait for a second. I just feel like there's just some sorrow in this room. I mean, it may be residue from losing that brother this week. But, or you may have a sorrow working on you. But I just feel we just need to address the sorrow. And you know, grieving is a beautiful thing. You know, when we lose people, we know all about, you know, us. That's what I told, I think I sent a text to Matthew, is, you know, we're called to minister from the cradle to the grave. That's part of our call, is to walk in places with people in their grieving, is walk with them in their grief. And we've got to do a lot of that, and grief will teach you a lot of things. There's a healthy way to grieve. There's an unhealthy way to grieve.
Yeah.
Sorrow can overcome a person. And destroy your heart. Disappointment. Don't be disappointed in the Lord. Don't let sorrow be your testimony. Jesus was a man of sorrows. Man, Jesus was acquainted with us. He wants us to bring our sorrows to Him today. And so, Lord, we just, whatever these sorrows are, Lord, we just bring them to you, Lord, and give them to you. And I know there's people in this room who have lost some stuff, and it's really trying to destroy their lives, Lord. But the devil didn't win. Thank you for that.
Thank you, amen.
Thank you that the devil didn't win. He wasn't able to destroy him. And we just ask you for restoration to come,
yes,
now, for those who've lost loved ones, for those who've lost money and fortune, even if it was their fault, Lord. We are still asking for restoration.
Yeah.
Yes.
I just believe God wants to restore some things,
yeah,
right now, y'all.
Yeah.
You know, that's what death brings about. Death brings about restoration if we'll let it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. I just feel like, you know, there's people in this room that have lost money, lots of money, finances, lost relationships, lost,
yeah,
ministry, and it's been devastating to you, and it's been hurtful to you. And some of you haven't recovered from it. Some of you have kind of walked away from the Lord. Some of you have kind of distanced yourself. It's not that you forsook the Lord. You just kind of distanced yourself to protect yourself,
yeah,
from being hurt again and being disappointed again. But I just believe today the Lord is asking you, give Him another chance.
Yeah.
That's what I feel for
the Lord.
Just give Him another chance in your life. Let Him come to you and let that fire that's deep down inside of you, let it burn again in a fresh way. All you got to do is say, yes, Lord.
Yes.
I'm going to trust you again.
Yes.
I'm going to believe you again.
Yes.
I'm going to put my hope out there again, Lord. I'm not going to settle back and play it safe for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
I realize,
yeah,
Lord, to love is,
yeah,
to risk,
yeah,
being hurt.
Yeah.
I realize that today. Lord, I know that love involves hurt many,
yeah,
times.
Yeah.
We risk being betrayed when we love. That's what happens. And if you're a person who's felt betrayed or felt lost because of your love for God, I believe the Lord is asking you today, because the Lord still loves you.
Mm-hmm.
He still cares about you. And,
yeah,
His promises,
yeah,
over you,
yeah,
are still yes.
Yeah.
They're still amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let the Lord,
amen,
let Him, give Him a chance.
Yeah.
Crack the door to God today,
yeah,
if that's you.
Yeah.
If your heart has closed,
yeah,
son, just crack the door to Him. That's all He's asking. He's not asking you to make a big deal out of it. Just a little yes.
Yeah.
Okay, Lord, we can talk about this now. Okay, Lord, I'll take a little baby step in this now,
yeah,
and see what you do, Lord.
Yeah.
I promise you, if you'll do that, the Lord will respond to you.
Yeah, that's,
yeah,
right.
And I promise you there's an anointing that will come on,
that's
your,
right,
life.
That's it. Yeah.
I promise you that. I promise there's,
yeah,
an anointing, there's a power that will come,
yeah,
into your life again.
Yeah.
Because the Lord doesn't hold grudges. The Lord is long-suffering, and the Lord will forgive you.
Yeah.
And He'll let it go. Mm-hmm. He'll let it go. He'll let yesterday go.
Yeah.
If you'll let it go, He'll,
yeah,
let it go.
Yeah.
If you'll say yes to Him, He'll say yes to you.
Yeah.
He's already said yes to you.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen. Y'all stand up with me. Becky, could you come up here? And Byron, this is the last thing I want to do. We'll dismiss. Byron, come back up here. It's just, y'all, this is, you know, there's power in having a dad and mom in the house. You know what I mean? And that Hebrews 11:11, put that back up on the screen, Eric, that Hebrews 11:11. It says that Sarah herself,
yeah,
received something. What was it? It was strength. Everybody
strength.
Say strength.
Strength.
Lord, we need strength.
Yeah. Yeah,
and what do we need strength for? We need strength to conceive seed.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the Bible says that the seed is the,
yeah,
word of God. And these two right here have,
yeah,
gone before us.
Mm-hmm.
And they've received strength when they were broken,
yeah,
when they were destitute,
yeah,
when they were last down to their last dollar, literally and spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that God wants to impart,
that's right,
to,
amen,
all of us,
that's right,
this strength that they have received.
Amen.
This,
yeah,
is why we have mothers and fathers,
yeah,
in the faith, is to receive strength from the Lord,
yes,
through them. So, Becky,
amen,
can I ask you to pray that?
Yeah, I will.
And I just want y'all to put your... Remember David Leavina, the heart like a little child.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, you just open, I don't care if you're 80 years old in here this morning, it's,
yeah,
not about age. Just open your hands and your heart right now and receive, just like a little kid would,
yeah,
from their parents, something that they're wanting to give, because God will do something real in this church.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Lord, we just come to you right now,
yeah,
Father. You're
God,
the Father of all fathers.
Yeah.
Lord, and I just ask you right now, just for this body, Lord, this beautiful body that you've brought together, Lord, to,
yeah,
display your glory in the earth, Lord, to bring your kingdom, Lord, into this whole sphere of influence around here. Lord, you want to use this body, Lord, to bring your glory, to speak Jesus over every heart and mind and body and soul, Lord, in this whole area. So, Lord, I just say right now, Lord, the same thing that you've given Byron and I through the seasons, Lord, the faith, Lord, that just keeps moving forward, Lord, that you will just settle that upon your people now, Lord. Just that is real faith. It's just moving forward. Even when you feel that you don't have strength, it's just, you just keep moving forward. And we just bless this congregation with that kind of faith. It's the faith that just keeps going. It just keeps seeing from the heavenly realm. It just keeps trusting in what you've said, Lord, and nothing else. It's what you said. Sarah trusted in what you said, Lord. And that is what we bless this congregation with today, Lord, to be able to move forward with our eyes upon and trust in you, in you alone, in all the promises, the Lord, that you have placed ahead of us, that we just say yes and amen. Lord, we just ask that you do this by your Spirit, by your Spirit, by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, every heart, every mind, every person in here, Lord, that right now there will be a seed that will be birthed in the spirit man, Lord, that they will begin to see, Lord, what they've never been able to see before, and grasp and take hold, Lord, of things in the invisible realm, Lord, that will cause to move, Lord, in faith like they've never walked in before, Lord. Just a faith that is grounding and believing, Lord, and it just comes easy. It just comes easy, Lord. And we declare that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I wanted to share just one little thing. Back in 2012, this Bob Jones, some of y'all know, Bob was a prophet, and he was at our church, and he was telling the story of in Arkansas. He lived in Arkansas growing up, and he lived near the Arkansas River, and there were places where horses could cross the Arkansas River. It was shallow enough, and so that they would lead their horses across that those places, but they were... the horses would want to stop and drink while they were in the river, okay? And he said what would happen to them is there was quicksand in that river. And a lot of times those horses would lose their life because they stopped. And he was giving us a word for our church then. We didn't really know what we were fixing to go through. And he said, you got to keep going. You just can't stop. If you stop, you're going to get sucked down. If you'll keep going, you'll get to the other side. And I felt, you know, that was, I wish I'd have called that in 2:12. We learned that to hurry, but when she did that, in a faith that keeps moving forward.
Yeah, that's it.
Amen. So we want to bless you guys. We want to bless you. Lord, we just pray that you would bless and keep this congregation.
Yeah.
Lord, that you make your face shine upon us, that you would give us peace, that your shalom from heaven would reside upon each and every person. Every man, woman, and child, God, and as we go, that we would walk in the victory by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. We just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Hey, Memorial Day weekend, it's important to remember. Remember, stop tomorrow. Remember. Remember those who have paid the price, but also remember what God has done in your life and for you. Amen. So be blessed. Have a fantastic week. We love you.